But what is harder to find is character. What is harder to find is who does this person become when they don't like, you know, what we're saying or what we're doing? Who does this person become when things don't go the way they want it to go?
Mm.
Who does this person become when they're angry?
Mm.
Who does this person become when life throws them a curved ball?
Before we get stuck into today's show, please make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on any platform, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. And that way it lets me know that the content I'm putting out there is reaching your ears and you want more content like this. Let's get into today's show. I'd love to welcome Sammy Wunder, who is an internationally recognized dating and relationship expert who specializes in working with ambitious and successful women with a thriving seven-figure business. Sammy has helped over 10,000 clients attract lasting romantic love, resulting in over 350 client engagements and 300 committed relationships since 2016. Sammy's clients ranges from Hollywood celebrities to TV stars, CEOs, bankers, lawyers, doctors, renowned authors, leading entrepreneurs, just to name a few. And her expertise has made her a leading authority in the dating and relationships space. And she's been featured on top podcasts and radio shows as a sought-after expert in the media. Join us today as we delve into Sammy's insights on how rotational dating can help you find the one. So, Sammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So, Sammy, just tell us how you came here. How did you come to doing what you do? Because you weren't always in this space. What were you doing before you were a relationship coach?
Yeah, so I am a trained economist and a master's in public policy. And the reason why I made this radical career switch from being in the field of policy and economics to being a love coach for high-achieving women is because I personally struggled a lot with my romantic relationships.
Mm.
So I knew that I was always the kind of woman who would never sacrifice her success, her ambition, her brains just to have a man in her life.
Yep.
And at the same time, I had the courage to be vulnerable very early on at a young age, you know, when I was just doing my master's, where I said to myself, you know, but I still want love and I still want an amazing partnership. And so for me, it wasn't an or choice. Like, I was never going to be the woman who's just going to be like wildly successful. Mm. I wanted both. I wanted wild success in my career and I wanted a passionate love affair and basically have it all. And of course, as I walked the path of life and walked the path of dating, it was not as easy as I thought it would be for somebody like me. So even though on paper, it seemed like I had everything that a man could ask for. I was well-educated. I was a good person. I wasn't going about doing mean things or saying mean things to men. I was reasonably good-looking. I was representing what would be a catch in the dating market.
Yeah.
But my experience showed me otherwise. I had miserable dating experiences from men canceling dates on me, coming on strong, then ghosting, then fizzling out. And to be very honest with you, Amanda, for the first part of that dating phase, like for a year or so, I remember just saying, you know, it's about the guys, like they are the crappy ones and they are intimidated by my brains and my success. And they are the ones who can't commit and they are the ones who can't, who don't want to marry. They are the ones who just want to have sex and, you know, move forward without a commitment. And if the right man came into my life, my love story would materialize and it would look very different. And so literally that first year was about no self-reflection, and just blaming the man and hating the man and just sort of waiting and holding out for the right man to show up. And he did show up. He did show up and he took my breath away. And the connection was like a 10 on 10 at every level, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. And we were having a great dating phase till around the 2 month mark. I started to feel like a familiar pattern was repeating itself, where he too started to withdraw, and like the texts declined, the dates declined, the frequency of the contact declined. And you know it as a woman in your body when something is off or not right. And I started to get that thing a lot. Till I recognized that it had been over a week and I hadn't heard from him one day. And I decided to text him and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Like, can we talk? And he just got back to me literally within a minute saying, hey, Sammy, you know, thanks for your message. You're a lovely girl, but I don't think I can give you what you're looking for. And it just makes me laugh now. I mean, back then it was horrible and so painful. But today I'm like, you know, when a man is not texting you or a man is not reaching out to you, you know, like I had all these thoughts in my head, like, did he die? Was he in an accident? Is he too busy at work? You know, how come he's not thinking about me? And receiving that text literally within a minute of sending it was actually so humiliating, because it confirmed to me that, like, the story that was going on in my head that, you know, he's just, and I was making excuses for him basically because I really liked him. It was like such a hard fall on my face. And I remember that night just going, oh my God, like this gut level punch, you know, humiliation, rejection, abandonment, like name it. And I was feeling it. And I was like, you know, maybe I should just be successful and maybe I should just show these men, you know, what I'm made of, you know, versus try so hard in my love life, you know. And I slept. I think I remember sleeping around 2 a.m. that night in my Berlin apartment. And then waking up the next morning and something was different. The pain was beyond that point where I could afford to be passive about it anymore.
Welcome to this short ad break. Not sure if you're aware, but I'm a personal trainer and have been for years now. So if you like the idea of training and being educated on how to eat for better health, then maybe it's time to hire me as your personal coach. You can start feeling confident, self-assured, and healthy again, so you can attract the best kinds of lovers and friendships into your life today. You can apply for online or face-to-face coaching with me, where I will take you through a hybrid fitness system that covers the three pillars to success, where I take you through the deep work of mindset principles and help you achieve breakthroughs, guide you to understand meal preparation for your goals, and customize your weight training program to help you build a healthy physique that you can be proud of. Find the application link in the show notes of this episode. Back to the show.
You know, like, it's like, okay, you know, this is a moment of transformation and you can become a man hater and you can give up on love, or you can decide to take responsibility for your part in the process. Of course, you're going to meet all kinds of people. And I do want to make a disclaimer that I believe in all forms of love. I'm just an expert at heterosexual relationships. So I'll speak about men and women because that's my area of expertise. But I do believe everything I'm saying is going to be relevant for people in, you know, different forms of loving relationships. So it was that moment that I would say was my biggest pain turned into my biggest gift, because it was this realization that, you know, I had to get in the driving seat of my love life. I had been miserable so long, in pain so long, in disappointment so long. And I was always finding a finger to blame somebody else for it. The men were always at fault, and I was always the catch and the right great girl who they couldn't see her value. And it sounds empowered at the forefront. It sounds like a confidence at a superficial level, but actually it lacks deeper confidence, because deeper confidence comes from a place of knowing yourself, knowing both your strengths and your weaknesses. And at that point, you know, I was not in personal reflection at all. I was not in personal responsibility at all. And so I think this was the biggest pain that unleashed the biggest gift in my life, where I said, you know, I'm going to take responsibility for my part in the process. I cannot control who a man is. I cannot control whether he is emotionally available or unavailable. I cannot control if he's a player or a Casanova or not interested in commitment. But what I can do is finesse my process of picking the right person. So you will come across all kinds of men, but if you choose to date them, then you're making a very active choice. And you could actually get educated to learn, you know, what does an emotionally unavailable man look like? You know, what does it look like to draw your own boundaries? What does it look like for you to say no to being treated poorly in dating? And so I decided to take responsibility for my part. And long story short, you know, I'm a nerd. I've always been a gold medalist. You know, when I get into something and decide to master it, I do exactly that. I'm a really good student. Yeah. And so the next year that followed was just about, you know, learning from the best experts, reading every research, every, you know, book that's been written about attraction, healthy love, you know, what does it look like to be empowered in your love life? And what followed was dating, having some amazing, radically different dating experiences, dating some great guys, rotational dating, you know, all the way to the ring. So I did not become any man's girlfriend. I just kept, you know, I kept seeing men for dates that were connections. And I kept evaluating them. And I think by the third month, it was just Chris, my husband, and another banker guy that I was seeing. And I was proposed to by the ninth month by Chris. He's the love of my life, the father to my children, two beautiful boys. We're going to be celebrating 10 years this year. Right. And he's just so proud of my success. I don't have to dumb down, play small, be anybody else than Sammy for him. And this is where the business was born, because I realized that I was surrounded by single women who were amazing. They were truly catches, but they weren't success in their love life. And they were all asking me, what did you do? What works? You know, what did you change? How did things shift for you so fast?
Yeah.
And I developed a trademarked process, the Love Success Framework, which is what I teach my clients today. Have helped over 900 women walk down the aisle and, you know, heal their relationships, attract empowered men. And there's been no going back. I think I'm doing what I was born to do.
I have so many questions, right? A really good synopsis of where you've been and what's happened and how it all happened. Now, I want to go back to that turning point of where you took the opportunity to self-reflect and go, what am I actually doing wrong? Which I can relate, because it's something I did many years ago, and go, okay, well, have the ability to attract relatively attractive partners in, but we're deeply incompatible. Why does this keep happening? What am I doing wrong? What did your transformation process look like from then on? What kind of coaching or therapy or understanding? How did you go about getting past some of those hurdles and roadblocks?
Okay, so I think the best way to speak about the changes I made would be to talk about the Love Success Framework, because that's the 6 pillars framework that I today teach my clients.
Yeah.
And the reason why I teach it is because those 6 pillars are truly what I believe every woman needs in order to fix her love life or heal her love life, whichever word feels more in alignment. So for me, I think what I found was the 2 big changes happened. The first big change was, you know, what you're talking about, which is falling for chemistry and then recognizing the lack of compatibility.
Yeah.
So what I started to do was, when I felt the chemistry, I was able to recognize it, but I was still holding on to test for character. And you see, physical attraction and sexual attraction between, you know, 2 good-looking people is not very hard to find if you're honest about it. Like, there are really great bodies and really physically attractive people out there, right?
Yeah.
But what is harder to find is character. What is harder to find is, who does this person become when they don't like, you know, what we're saying or what we're doing? Who does this person become when things don't go the way they want it to go? Who does this person become when they're angry? who does this person become when life throws them a curved ball, right? And you literally cannot know these things or evaluate these things based on chemistry or how hot the sex is or how attractive somebody feels to you. So you have to make that shift from, you know, what I call teenage dating, which is like, oh my God, I've got all these hormones and, you know, I'm feeling so hot and juicy around this person. You have to make that shift from teenage dating to adult dating. And adult dating is far more mature in its approach, and it's far more intentional in its approach in the sense that, you know, you are still, when you're dating, and when I was dating, you know, it's not that I didn't meet men who I would say, okay, physically they were maybe even more attractive than my husband, you know, maybe they had more biceps or they had more muscle, you know, and like they had more six pack abs, you know, but I wasn't just looking for that because I knew that, you know, I can't make children and, you know, go through labor and birth and, you know, bring up kids with a man based on his bicep size, you know, like there has to be other factors that are playing in there. And so intentional, mature adult dating is about looking at the whole package. You know, can I rely on this person? Do they keep their word? Do I feel safe around them? Or do I feel anxious? Do I feel I'm walking on eggshells? Is it hot and cold? Do they say one thing and do another thing, right? So I think the biggest shift for me was dating like an adult and dating for character and really evaluating character while not discounting physical attraction. I think it's very important because that's what a romantic relationship is about. So anybody who tells you like looks don't matter is telling you BS because of course, matter. And of course, like, you know, I liked the way Chris was smelling. I liked his breath. I liked smelling the nape of his neck. Like all of those things were so good and so juicy. Yeah. But let's just say it was a necessary condition, but not a sufficient condition. So in Elevate, we talk about necessary and sufficient conditions. So Elevate is my group coaching program where we help single women, you know, attract empowered, healthy men. And I talk about physical attraction being a necessary condition, but not a sufficient condition. And so the sufficient condition is the character evaluation. And that is so important. And it cannot happen in 1 month. You've got to date longer for that. So I also teach pacing. You know, I also teach pacing. Like, don't jump into bed on date number one. Don't jump into bed on date number three. Because it actually screws your capacity when the body starts to produce oxytocin and you're, you know, having orgasms with somebody. It literally disables your capacity to see the red flags. You know, you can't see that stuff. You know, it prevents you from being objective. And so it's about engaging your logical side in dating as well. You know, partner attraction and a healthy mate attraction is not just heart-based. It is also logic and objectivity-based. And we must stay objective and logical in the first 3 months, which is where he's still bonding, you are still getting to know him. So I think this was like one major shift. And it completely removed the players, it completely removed the Casanovas, it completely removed the people in my dating pool who just wanted to sleep with me. Because those people don't stick around when you don't sleep with them very quickly. They just go off the filter. So this was such a powerful transformation. I only had men who were treating me well beyond the 2 month mark. You know, everybody else would just slip away because I wouldn't jump into bed with them. I think the second big transformation was learning about polarity and masculine and feminine energies. And I cannot emphasize this enough, especially for the kind of woman I support and work with. We're far out in our masculine, and it's what life requires from us. It's what success, holding a successful business requires from us. Yep. I run a multi-7-figure business per year, and there was just no way I could lean back, relax, and, you know, dance in the forest, and I would, you know, manage a team, you know, show up in Forbes and Time magazine, or, you know, be there for my clients as a leader they can, you know, look up to when things are hurting or things are hard. And so, of course, masculine is a very important part of, the success that women are blessed with today, and the fact that we're so financially independent and, we can create these great lives. However, let's just face it, the more successful you become, the more masculine is demanded from you. And so you are literally running out of balance when it comes to being able to access your feminine energy, right? And what's happening for me already back when I was 21, 22, I was nerdy and I just wanted to get ahead and, be ambitious. And then when I went on dates, if a man told me about his achievements, I would get really competitive. And then I would start talking about my achievements that, he doesn't think I'm any less. And it was just really coming from this masculine energy meeting masculine energy. And a lot of the great guys disappeared, not because I wasn't a good person or I wasn't anything enough, but literally because when you understand the law of polarity, and polarity just means that there has to be the presence of polar opposite energies. In order for sexual attraction to exist in a relationship. Because if you just have feminine, which is both partners are just being, it's flat. It's what you feel with a girlfriend, when you just go oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. And both talk a lot, it's flat. And when you have both masculine, you have a lot of power struggles, a lot of arguments, a lot of clashing. And this is not sexist, because both men and women have both energies. So you could be in the same sex relationship, but you could be in your masculine, she could be in her masculine, and you could be in your feminine and she could be in her feminine, and you would still have the same results, which is the sexual attraction will fall, And so I was on these dates and I was so much in my masculine, and then I would come back and blame the guy. And I would say, they don't like my brains and they don't like that I have an opinion. But the truth was, they just couldn't feel me. They couldn't emotionally connect with me, because I was literally showing up in man energy, in masculine spirit, while wearing a feminine dress. And it just didn't work, So learning about polarity and learning about the power of being in your feminine, in being, and in receiving, and in being in touch with your body, your feelings, versus all your mind and your logical thoughts, in a relationship, was game changing for me, because it helped me attract a really empowered masculine man who was willing to pour into me, who was willing to do for me, versus me having to be the doer and the giver, which is what I'm really good at naturally, right? Good at being in that zone myself. So I would say these two changes were life-changing.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so with rotational dating, if someone wanted to do rotational dating so that they could really vet people properly and be patient with it and, eliminate the time wasters, how many people did you date at once, and how long are you rotational dating for? Because normally people can become exclusive fairly quickly, especially where the chemistry is quite strong. And within the first 3 months, you can see that there's compatibility. Give or take, within 1 to 3 months, most people are in a committed situation. So I'm curious to know how you managed your rotational dating.
I think a lot of it comes from belief and self-confidence. So coming from India, I was very confident that I just didn't want to be any man's girlfriend. I just wanted to be wife. And I was going to hold out till a man knew that I was the one, not just of many on the path to his life, And it's radical, it's bold. And yet, when you meet that person who's on the same frequency, they're not playing around. They are serious, like you are, about finding the one. They get it. They understand this, So I think for me, it was my belief system and my confidence that, I did girlfriend in university, but I'm not in university anymore. So I'm going to do wife. I'm playing for wife. I'm not playing for girlfriend. Yep. It's a label, temporary tag. And when I, today as an expert, when I look at, the number of relationships that actually reach proposal and commitment and marriage has nothing to do with whether a woman was girlfriend or not, It's shocking. So I actually find the girlfriend label if a woman is happy with it, then no judgment. But yeah. if a woman is not happy with it, I truly invite her to reflect why she believes she has to be girlfriend before she can become wife. Because it's not true. Like, I have clients who've gotten engaged in 3 months, and, you know, they're now like 8 years into their marriage and they're really happy, you know, because they attracted a man who was at the same frequency. They attracted a man who shared the same belief and who was ready to give up his freedom to say, yes, you're the one forever, not just the one for now, right? So I think the most important part is the psychology of rotational dating. Like, you really have to believe in it, because if you doubt it and if you start to feel bad about it or guilty. So I also notice with some of my clients, like, they feel like the minute they talk to a man and they like him, they feel like they owe him something, and they feel like they owe him, if nothing else, information that they're still going out on dates, even though he's not even asked them to be exclusive. He's not even got off the apps himself. Yep. And so I think there is a sense of patriarchy there, where women are shamed for, you know, having options and playing the field, whereas men are doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. They're doing it all the time. And this is not a man versus woman thing I'm saying here. I believe it's actually empowered to have options in dating. And if the men are doing this, why shouldn't the women do it as well? And I think it's also important to understand that there is a difference between rotational dating and rotational sleeping. So you're not like sleeping around. You're just meeting men for what I call connection dates. You can take a walk in the park. You can have a coffee. You can have a wine. You can go to the cinema together and eat popcorn, for God's sake. You know, like, dating is not necessarily immediately a sexual activity. And I think people relate dating someone immediately with sleeping with them. And I think this is where we have to hold our standards a little higher, and we have to treat our bodies as more sacred, and we have to say, hold out, slow it down. I'm looking for my forever person. I'm not just looking to sleep around and have another fling that lasts 2 years and then leads nowhere. I'm actually intentionally dating for the one. So the psychology is super important.
Yeah.
Now, nuts and bolts, the practicality of it, I was dating anywhere between 4 to 5 men at the start. But usually what happens is you're just talking to these men. So it's like, can you give yourself permission to talk to more than one man? Mm. Yes, you can. Of course you can. What are you doing wrong? Nothing. Right? So just start baby steps, warm up into it, talk to lots of men, talk to different men online, see who's asking you out, see where the frequency is again matching, and then go on connection dates, go on lots of connection dates. So when you see that, you know, women get depressed when they go on a date and then they don't get asked out again, I'm like, hey girl, did you just go out on one date in 1 week? Like, you should be seeing more men. You should be talking to more men. Mm. It's like, you know, when you run a multi 7-figure business, would you be obsessing about that one client who didn't sign up for your program? No, you wouldn't. Mm. You have so many choices. You have a wait list that is full, and you have these new leads coming in all the time through your marketing efforts. So if you start to think of your early dating as a business, you know, you don't get hung up on one client who didn't sign up. So why would you get hung up on one man who didn't ask you out? You need to have more options. You need to be busier than this, right? And so having lots of first dates, because the likelihood that sometimes you'll say, I don't feel it, sometimes they'll say, I don't feel it, is pretty high. Yep. And this is the stage where you truly need emotional tenacity. This is the place where most women will give up. And that's why it's so important to have fun with dating. And, you know, of course, I can talk about this for hours because it's what I do for a living. But when you're in your feminine, when you're relaxed, when you're not trying to prove anything, when you can just receive from men, dating is actually a very healing and relaxing activity. Mm. You know, sometimes the fun my clients have on dates, like, they, you know, they'll go to the bank in New York in the morning, they're bankers. And then in the evening, they'll have a date with a guy. And they like get a change of dress, put on lipstick, spray perfume. And then it's like chill out time, feminine energy, relaxing, receiving, letting him do work. And sometimes they're like having 4 of those dates in a week. And it's like, I get free dinners, I get free wine, I get to have good conversations. If it leads to something, awesome. If it doesn't lead to something, I had a good conversation.
Okay,
dinner, you know? So sometimes I'm like, I'm jealous of you ladies. You know, my husband doesn't take me out on four dinner dates a week right now, you know, but if I was single, I'd probably get there too. So I think having lots of first dates and then seeing that your funnel will reduce because not everybody is going to ask you out, not everybody you will want to see again. And so your pool already reduces. And then you'll start to see like the men who are stepping up, they are asking you out, they stay in communication, they, you know, make real plans to see you. And I think by the third month mark, a man who's serious about you will ask for exclusivity. And what happened with Chris and my other serious RD, as my clients would call it, rotational date, was that Chris became, I think around the 2 month mark, he brought up the relationship talk and he said to me, okay, like, where is this going? What are we? And I had to giggle inside because I knew this would come up, because in the past I had brought this up every time with men. But now I was dating in my feminine and I was just holding out and being quiet about the relationship talk. And I was just dating. He would ask, where is this going? And so he did. I had a little giggle. And then I said to him, well, I really like you. You really like me. This is really fun. And let's keep seeing where this is going. And he said to me, would you like to be my girlfriend? And I said to him, I did that in university. I'm not looking to do girlfriend anymore, but I don't want to put any pressure on you. So why don't we just keep dating till we know whether I am the one or not, you know? And
Okay, cool. So you were still wanting to be on rotational dating until he was ready to basically put a ring on it.
Yeah, Beyonce, if you like it, put a ring on it.
So was he aware that you were seeing other people?
Yeah.
Okay, and how did he feel about that?
Not happy at all, but that's not my problem.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't have the cake and eat it too. I think this thing about getting angry with a woman who's seeing other men is unfair, unless you know this is the person you can really put a ring on her finger. And if you can't.
Interesting perspective. Yeah, right.
You have no right to stop me from living my best life and seeking my best options and going for the kind of commitment I desire. That's not fair to me.
Yeah, right. Okay. I think that's very empowering for women to hear that. And you know what? I guess when something seems a lot, because I mean that in a man's opinion, he might look at that and go, geez, she means business. Like, she's quite rare. At any point I could kind of mess up and she's out of there and she's already got four other options. So really like that. Now, how do you navigate jealousy and other emotional complexities that might arise while rotational dating?
So I think it's so important to evaluate how a man responds because it will show the level of healthiness he has in terms of managing his own turbulent emotions. Rotational dating is so powerful because it makes men feel, and it makes them feel a sense of threat, a sense of loss.
Yeah.
If they don't step their game up. Now, some men are going to whine about it. You know, they're going to whine about it. They're going to get angry at you. They might even get insulting at you. And honestly, they're just revealing who they are. This is good riddance. Like, you don't want a man in your life who is not wanting to give you the commitment you desire and you deserve, and at the same time wanting you to shut down all your options because Mr. is feeling jealous and entitled to your body, to your time, right? So Chris went silent on me for 3 days after this talk.
Right, okay.
And I held my ground. Like, I felt sad. I really liked him at this point.
Yeah.
But I knew what I was going for. And I was like, you know, he has a right to say no to this. He has a right to go the girlfriend route with another woman who's willing to go the girlfriend route. That is his choice. And it is available to him. And I have no right to judge him for being less of a man if he decides to take that route for himself. Just like I have the route to make this choice for myself, right? So I wasn't going to chase. I wasn't going to beg. I just sat with my broken heart. I was like, wow, he's gone. Till on day number four, I got a text that's saying, hi, I thought seriously about our conversation And I was thinking we should meet again and talk more in length about it and see how you want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, how does one get to know if somebody is the one for them without really being in a relationship with them?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, stuff like that. So he behaved as an empowered adult who wasn't going to whine and blame and judge and call me names and disappear. He wanted this. He wanted me. And he was willing to sit through the discomfort of what it took. I remember we met and I really assured him. I said, I'm not sleeping around. If I would sleep with somebody, I would let you know. But I'm not sleeping around. I'm just not your girlfriend. Like, I just want to feel like I am not obligated to anybody till like they know I am the one for them, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we can still keep seeing each other. He said, so like, how do I introduce you to my family? And we're like, do you go on trips together? I want to take my time sleeping with you. So we were not sleeping yet at the 2 month mark. But there was a lot of, you know, fun hanky panky, and you could really feel the chemistry growing and wanting and desiring and, you know, all of that. So juicy. But no, after that, he just kept booking my time, and sooner or later, the banker like just couldn't keep up with how much Chris was booking my time. And, you know, I had like these personal policies where I was like, first come, first serve, no matter who you like more, you're going to give your time to the person who's working for it, you know, and who's you know, making the effort for you. And that was my husband. And we went together. And of course, every once in a while, when he knew I was, he came over and he saw the flowers on my desk, or he would ask like, who brought you that perfume? He would get a little pissed about it, but he could handle it. I wasn't his wife and I wasn't his girlfriend. And I told him, hey, you know, I am the one for you. This will all go away. But it's only fair to me that till you are making up your mind and test driving this, you don't expect me to completely shut down my options.
One more ad break before we wrap up this week's episode. Have you just endured a breakup? Or maybe you're still not over your ex? Deep down, do you hope to work things out and give it another shot? Then you need to download my free breakup guide, How to Use Emotional Detachment to Win Your Ex Back or Set Them Free. Emotional detachment after a breakup allows you to gain perspective, focus on self-care, and rebuild your identity. By detaching, you create space for healing, personal growth, and opening yourself up for new possibilities. You can download your free copy now. That link is in the show notes below. Back to the episode.
Love that. So, what kind of success have you had with your clients over this? Like, have we got some awesome stories that you can tell where women have just, because I'm sure that there's a lot of women out there that have shut down their options too soon, realize that they're probably not compatible with their partner, or their partner might come on so strong, say all the sweet nothings, and then they have you convinced and it's like, cool, I'm not interested in dating anyone else. And then boom, something happens. They might have an argument, and then unfortunately their partner might rear their ugly head of what they are potentially incapable of, and that is good communication, honesty, being open, being able to deal with adversity, and what have you. So I want to know how much of a game changer this has been for the clients that you've dealt with.
Oh my God. Like, firstly, I think it just makes dating so much more fun, because as a byproduct of rotational dating, your investment level reduces in the men you're seeing. And that by itself is just an emotionally empowering place to be. Like, instead of checking your phone 10 times a day, whether he's messaged or not, like, you are distracted with other people who are messaging. And, you know, he's not the only person on the planet. Like, he's not the only flavor of ice cream. There's many flavors of ice cream to taste, to try, to choose from, you know. So I think just emotionally, it reduces your overinvestment in one guy. Because when you are overinvested in any one person, it automatically brings up feelings of desperation and insecurity. Yes. And that it can be totally avoided if you have more choices. So it's been revolutionary for my clients to sort of just relax more in early dating. And like, if he ghosts, okay, bye. You know, there's more, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Yep. This is not to say my clients don't value good men. You know, there's a difference. You know, sometimes people say, oh, but like this whole attitude, there are so many options and you can have anyone. I'm like, no, this is a very superficial way of looking at rotational dating. Mm. You know, my clients are open, heart open and available for good men who are willing to make the effort. Mm. But if you're not willing to make the effort and you don't show up with effort, why should my client, you know, sit there, whine for you, wait for you and feel bad about herself, you know?
Totally.
So
totally.
This is not about being slutty or, you know, non-emotionally available. This is about being available for the right people. And so this is been revolutionary in terms of their confidence, in terms of their ease of dating. And of course, I think over 70% of my clientele rotational dates all the way to the ring. Some only rotational date at the start, which is also fine. You know, like some of my clients, you know, some women have been scared to sign up for Elevate because they're like, oh my God, Sammy Wunder does rotational dating and I will never do rotational dating. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? You know what? You get to create the love story you want with us. However, our recommendation is if you feel uncomfortable or like you dread rotational dating, then just do it at the start. Like have lots of options at the start. You don't have to go all the way to the ring like I did. You know, I know it takes guts and I know it takes, you know, a level of boldness that is not for everybody. Not everybody wants to play that game this way. You know, that's fine. So you can just do rotational dating at the start, have lots of options. And I've got clients, you know, who have men who've proposed within 6 months and they're really happy because it's the same frequency. It's not a rushed relationship. It's actually a very paced relationship where from the start, both people knew it wasn't just about sex and chemistry. This was very intentional. They were evaluating each other for long partnership right from the start. And if you don't want a proposal, there are some people who don't want to get married. You know, if you're just looking for a committed relationship, even then rotational dating holds, even then intentional dating holds. In that case, I just recommend stretching out the time to exclusivity, like taking your time, taking 4 months, taking 5 months if you need to, you know, before say, yes, we are a unit, you know, and just sort of holding out for that version of commitment that speaks to you. So some of my clients, you know, they say, you know, I'm going to buy my house, a house with a committed partner. You know, I'm going to adopt a child with a committed partner. These are big things for me. And I cannot just rush into a relationship and then buy a house and then, you know, share the debt and then have him gone after 2 months because we found that we can't fight fair or we can't communicate like adults, you know. So holding out and pacing is what brings the magic for our clients, whether they're looking for marriage or they're just looking for a committed partnership.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell us a little bit more about your program. So if people want to get in touch with you and jump on board, what kind of programs do you actually offer?
Okay, so I think it depends on the level of urgency and desire and motivation a woman feels. So you can just come in and work with us straight away inside Elevate, which is my 6 months long group coaching program. Mm. It's not a superficial dating program. It's a deep dive into becoming that next level woman that easily and effortlessly attracts and keeps a great man in her life. So this is so much more focus on, you know, of course, we'll give you the strategy of dating like we just, you know, spoke about in this interview. But we will also talk about the energetics of being your next level woman and next level embodied feminine energy woman, which is something that you keep with yourself for the rest of your life. If you are somebody who likes to test waters and, you know, dive in slowly, you can just go to your website, sammywunder.com, and there are digital programs at all levels of, you know, prices that are, you know, super easy, super affordable and give great value for you as somebody who wants to, you know, get to know my methodology. So there's Like a Diva on my website, Leap into Love on my website, fantastic self-study courses, highly valuable. And then, of course, there is private support as well, which is usually booked by, you know, really busy women who just want to talk to Sammy. And that starts at 30K plus for 3 months.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. All right. Well, I think you've covered a lot today. right? And I think you've got so much more to share. But then I think it becomes all about, well, it's a case-by-case situation, and this is where people are better off actually reaching out to you because, yeah, like I said, you've just really opened up Pandora's box here on this, and I think it's very different. I've never heard of rotational dating, but I must say, starting to explore it myself and trying to actually put my foot down and go, no, don't lock someone down too soon, because every time you do, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work straight away. And it, like you said, it doesn't mean you have to sleep with every person you're chatting to. You're just keeping your options open, and you're keeping distraction away from being obsessed and focused solely on one person, which can be exhausting because it kind of becomes a bit of a drug in the first 3 months, doesn't it? It's very like you just want their attention, and then when you don't get it, you really feel it and you miss them. So, and that's exhausting. But having options just kind of keeps you preoccupied and empowered. So best place for them to reach you is at samiwonder.com.
Yes. So just mindful of the spelling, it's SamiWunder. It's a German word for wonder. So it's wonder, wunder.com. And you'll have like all my courses there in the self-study section. Also, you know, mentions our group coaching program, Elevate. And of course, reach out to me on Instagram at SamiWunderCoach and say hi and let me know you found me through Amanda. And I do have an amazing gift. Free gift for your audience, Amanda.
Amazing.
If you're happy for me to share it with them.
Yeah.
It's a training on how to drop into your feminine pretty quickly in 3 empowered ways. And the reason is I believe your audience has already got the masculine side nailed. They're empowered. They can take action. They can do, they can give. But feminine energy is always that vague concept where women ask me, like, how do I do this? Do I have to go to Costa Rica and dance in a forest and smell incense sticks in order to be in my feminine? And at least that was my impression, because everybody's talking about divine feminine. And it's like, oh my God, how do I access this energy in real life, in practical ways that actually makes a difference in my interactions with men? So how do I be in my feminine on a date? How do I be in my feminine in my marriage, in my relationship? How do I have conversations that are non-controlling, that are, you know, non-aggressive and non-pushy, but still help me put my point across in a feminine way? So there is a training for 50 minutes, which is completely free for your audience to access. It's called 3 Powerful Ways to Shift in Your Feminine. And it comes with a PDF scripts guide where I show them how to speak from their feminine and negotiate important things like having quality time, having his attention, having more sex, money. So how do you negotiate these important topics while still embodying your feminine and not getting into your bossy, aggressive, masculine energy? So that is the gift for your audience, and the link is going to be in the show notes.
Yes, amazing. Thank you so much for that. Well, Sammy, it's been an absolute joy. And yes, I will have those links below. So make sure you take advantage of that free gift. If nothing else, you'll definitely learn something new from that. But definitely for those that are in a position, reach out to Sammy. She's got a wonderful network online of really successful and empowered women that are having awesome dates. Sammy, is there any sort of parting words you want to leave the audience with today before we jump off?
Get in the driving seat of your love life and don't wait till your pain becomes unbearable. Like, you can take action now. You can empower yourself now. You can educate yourself with skills that will help you feel better and more empowered in the way you are feeling and approaching your love life. I think we often believe that, you know, we can't have both. So we are building a business, so love is not important, or we are, you know, getting a promotion in our career, so love has to wait. But I don't think when we are on our deathbed, we're going to be talking about the money in our bank account or the latest jazzy funnel we built. I think we're going to think back to the memories we created, to the magic we shared, to how passionately we felt and made love and, you know, had a family. And so don't let that slip on the bottom of your priorities. Like, put it right up there. That's what it means to have it all in today's world. It's not just about the money and success. It is about being a well-rounded individual. And so don't forget to pay attention to this part of your life and take action today. Start somewhere with action.
Absolutely. Very well said. All right, Sammy. Well, thank you so much for your
guidance and insights today. It's been wonderful to chat with you, and we will connect with you sometime in the near future. So thank you so much for jumping on.
Thank you, Amanda. It's been a pleasure.